Brothers and sisters, some believers lead a Christian life in which they are loved by God, have a lot of spiritual experiences, and enjoy blessings. Some, however, are seemingly diligent in their life of faith, but they are faced with tests, tribulations, and persecutions, and live in afflictions. Some Christians achieve a remarkable growth of faith despite not having attended church for a long time, but others live almost like unbelievers without the growth of faith, although they've been a Christian for decades. Why are there such differences among them, while they all believe in the same God? It depends on how much each believer figures out God's will and obeys accordingly. While God loves all people, He acts according to the justice and repays each of them based on what they have done. Therefore, as we precisely figure out God's will and act accordingly, we can not only receive His answers and blessings, but achieve spiritual growth. Today's passage makes it clear what God's will is. This is the basics in our life of faith. Conditions for us to stand on the walk of faith and a shortcut to coming in the Spirit. This is a word of blessing which guides those who've already come in the Spirit into deeper levels of Spirit or into whole Spirit, depending on how much they fulfilled its spiritual meanings in their hearts and practiced them. May this message lead you to realize God's will and act accordingly. Realizing God's will is to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And we have to know why we have to rejoice, why we have to be joyful about. You have to know exactly. And the important thing is, even though, let's say you feel distressed and exhausted in heart. This is not rejoicing. Even if you force yourself to say, I am happy, it's not about force yourself to be rejoiced. This is not about forcing yourself to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. As God's children, you have enough reasons to be joyful and thankful. Believing that your prayer can resolve any kind of trouble, you have to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. As you do so, our good God will give His prompt answers, whether it is your heart's desire, healing of your disease, or whatever. But think, I haven't committed a great sin or loved the world. But I've got stricken with a disease and troubles. While other people receive serious disease, but I didn't receive healing. If you think so, I hope you find the solution to your problems through this message. And we have to know how we can overcome trials, and you can also find the solution from this message. You can know how. You have to know, you know that you have to rejoice, give thanks during the trials. You have to know its spiritual deep meaning. And if you are able to practice God's will, you can receive His love, and you will make your trials turn into blessings. Brothers and sisters, God's will for us, first, is to rejoice always. If we believe that God, who created all things in the universe and governs the history of mankind, is our Father, we can always stay joyful.
Some people are born with privileges. Their parents have a lot of wealth and have a lot of knowledge, and their children are born with great privileges. But people born of poor parents, and they are called, we have a such expression as silver spoon in his mouth, or there are people who you may complain about your parents not giving enough support, but we have our spiritual Father. because He is a spiritual father, does He not give us spiritual physical needs? Of course, He gives us the even physical needs and solves even our physical problems. So it doesn't matter, and we don't have to, we have our Father. Because of our Father, we have received tremendous blessings. Though we were destined for hell due to sins, we've been saved by Jesus Christ and become qualified to enter heaven as God's children. How could we not rejoice? Hearing this, some of you may say you have absolutely nothing to rejoice about due to your disease, family problems, financial issues, etc. But if we rejoice only on joyful occasions and lose joy in the face of a test, tribulation, and problem, we'd be no different from worldly people who don't believe in God, wouldn't we? Since worldly people don't know where they came from and where they are headed, they set their goals only on this earth. So they find, because they have no reasons for be joyful, they think that they have no reasons to rejoice because they think this world is everything. But if, as God's children, the world, this world is not everything. We have our everlasting heaven, and we also have the spiritual space. If we believe in this fact, we can be you can rejoice. Also, as they don't know about the spiritual realm where joy, love, and happiness overflow, they are joyful only on joyful and happy occasions. Other times, they struggle with concerns, anxieties, sorrow, and afflictions brought by the world. It's about the worldly people. They don't know that there are heaven and hell after death. They live to be 80 with good health. Nowadays, it has extended to 100. But compared to everlasting heaven, their earthly life is nothing but a moment. To enjoy such a brief earthly life, they pursue their lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life. But this doesn't... But this isn't the case with God's children. We have to be different from them. If you are not different from the worldly people, if you think the same way as the worldly people do, if we see things as the worldly people do, then Father God doesn't like it. This is not believing in God. That's why they cannot be protected. They cannot be... If you have done so, you have to repent of that. This is a great wall of sin. God sent His only begotten Son to us, and we were destined for death, but we were saved by Him. Just for this fact, we have to have enough reason to be joyful. Worldly people, they only know about what they can see. They only have what they... But what about us? We have our spirit. We know about our spiritual realm. But if we lose our joy, this is the evidence of our lacking faith. That's why we cannot receive answers to our prayer. Why can we not receive? Because, but if we have faith, if we have... If we... We have to examine whether we have the spiritual eyes or not. We have to examine ourselves. This concerns our salvation. This is, and tomorrow, and through the message, you have to thoroughly repent of such areas. You have to restore the relationship with God. We believe in God. We don't doubt God. Just saying that I believe in God is not faith. When we hear the word faith, even though you think that you doubt, you don't doubt, if you don't show faith, don't show these, God, this is not true faith. And since they have faith in God and hope for heaven, they can stay joyful, not just in good times, but amidst tests, tribulations, and sufferings. While the first man Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, there was only goodness and truth. He didn't know the opposites of them, which are evil and untruth. Neither did he know or experience sadness or afflictions stemming from them. At the same time, he wasn't able to feel how beautiful goodness and truth are and how joyful and happy the life in the Garden of Eden was. But since the first man Adam committed a sin of disobedience and got driven away to this earth, all mankind, his offspring, has experienced relativity, going through pain, grief, and death in this fleshly world. And we were destined to end up in death, hell. But our loving God opened the path for us to receive salvation by faith through His only Son, Jesus Christ. Through this, His children receive salvation, experience relativity while being cultivated on earth, and then live in joy and glory in everlasting heaven. God's children who believe in this fact can stay joyful and happy even if they meet with all kinds of tribulations and troubles while on this earth. The reason is they believe that they will soon return to their true home where there is no sorrow, pain, and death, and there they will be welcomed by Father God and receive rewards and glory that He has prepared for them. As we believe that even trials facing us on this earth are allowed by God to give us a better place and more glory in heaven, we can truly stay joyful even amidst the trials. Brothers and sisters, we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 that all things men do on earth and under the sun is vanity of vanities. Even if we enjoy great wealth and good health and have a lot of knowledge, power, and fame, we can't take any of them with us when we die. Thus, such worldly things should not determine how joyful we are. Even if we find ourselves in a tough situation and have physical illnesses or problems in our families and workplaces, as long as we perfectly trust in God and hope for the heavenly kingdom, we can always rejoice. We can be joyful just for the fact that our names have been recorded in the book of life and we've been entitled to become God's children. If we have such faith and hope, why should we fall into grief and despair over worldly matters which would soon pass away? We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." If we have such faith, we can always stay joyful. Once God is pleased with this, He works according to our faith. Even situations that are seemingly bleak and hopeless in a physical sense, God works according to our faith. As He sees His sons and daughters, if He finds His sons and daughters without faith, even though they say that, I believe you can do anything because you are outstanding. I know that you can do everything. Please help me. Even though they say this with their lips, but they have no joy on their faces. After they pray, they still get annoyed, still have complaints. They don't speak good words. They just say things that doesn't have faith. How could this be faith? Remember the first generation of the Israelites. When they saw God's power, they danced and rejoiced with a tambourine. But in the face of a trouble, they soon complained and rebelled against Moses. Is this faith? This is evidence of their lack of faith. You have to also think about your life. When you know you are joyful, when you are in joyful occasions, even worldly people can do that because they think that this world is everything. When they are joyful, they are just joyful because they think this world is everything. But we have faith. What is faith? We faith that there is God and He is our Father and that there is a heaven and I will go to heaven. And even though I'm in serious trouble, Father God will I will change myself and all my problems will be nothing. It can be resolved instantly. If we have faith like that, we don't see our troubles as troubles. This is faith. Because we have this faith, even though we, in our troubles, we don't complain. We don't, but we just stay joyful. And this is true faith. And Father God is looking for such true children. And He will give His blessings without reservation. But in the face of a trials, if you act like you have no faith, even in the trials, if you... That's why if you have such ups and downs, you can, your faith cannot grow, but you will stay the same spiritually. That's why... You have to know that because you don't have faith, you have lost joy. You shouldn't give an excuse on your environment and your situation. Even situations that are seemingly bleak and hopeless in a physical sense can be resolved instantly by faith. May you always overflow with joy, having faith in this Almighty God and hope for the heavenly kingdom. We've witnessed the power of the Almighty God on numerous occasions. But if we are concerned and worried about our problems, we cannot be said to have true faith. Moreover, if we profess to have faith as God's worker but become discouraged and distressed and lose joy in times of trouble, we are disheartening God. I want you to examine how much you rejoice with faith in God while going through the trials. I challenge you to become Christians of strong faith who have... I challenge you to become Christians of strong faith who have joy that no one can take away. Second, in the face of trouble, in the face of test, in the face of a... We have... This is an opportunity for us to test, prove our faith. So, in the face of a test, you have to rejoice. We have to say, oh, this is my test. This is my opportunity to prove my faith. I have to pass this test. I didn't pass this in the past, but this time I have to pass it well so I can be qualified that I have to receive compliment from God. If you face your test this way, Father God will be pleased. This is the very easy. It is to rejoice. Rejoice always. Actually, this is easy, but this is not also not easy. If we have faith, it is very easy, but because God is our Father, and He, there's nothing He cannot control on this physical world. That's why, even if we face troubles, that means we have shortcomings. So we have to repent and turn back and become perfect. Then, if we believe in this fact, we won't be discouraged. We won't despair in face of trouble. As you attend, you have to thoroughly repent. Even despite your long Christian life, if you still have concerns and worries in times of trouble, if you totally forgot about God in your troubles, you have to know that you didn't rejoice. You have to admit yourself, and you have to resolve not to lose your faith. You have to resolve not to. Then Father God will answer your prayers and give you answers. Second, God's will for us is to pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing has three meanings. The first meaning is to pray habitually. Some people pray only when they feel like it or have problems to resolve. Others don't know how to pray. Others pray only when they are in high spirits or feel grateful. But we should be in the habit of always staying awake in prayer, no matter the circumstance. As we find in the Bible, Jesus and many fathers of faith prayed habitually as well. When we first accept the Lord, since we don't know how to pray, we may find it difficult to pray. But if we diligently make the bread of the Word of God and pray without ceasing, we become able to offer powerful prayers with our spirits growing strong. We realize that we cannot bear to live without praying. That's why prayer is called our spirit's breath. when God's children, born again through the Holy Spirit, cease to pray, they might not notice any difference at first, but as time goes by, they begin to feel suffocated and afflicted. Though not visible, their spirits would feel really choked and suffocated. Just as man cannot survive, longer than a few minutes without breathing, if we repeatedly stop praying, our spirits would naturally come close to being dead. At this point, the enemy devil attacks our weakest parts. While we haven't cast off greed for worldly things, and an unbelieving friend suddenly calls us, contacts us, and he begins to brag about her huge house, huge and luxurious apartment, and she brags about her ring, she wears a nice ring, and she pretends to so when you hear them bragging, you don't feel happy. If you are filled with the Spirit, if you are filled with faith, even though you see someone bragging about that, you don't feel anything. You think, even though I don't have that diamond ring, I will go to heaven. Even though I have a luxurious apartment, I will have such huge house in heaven. Because you have hope for heaven, you don't become envious of anything they have. Worldly people, they have, because you are just satisfied with the fact that you have a house to live in. If you have your hearts taken away by such things, of course, if it's, having your own apartment is not greed, and you have, you don't have to live in anxiety. It's okay to have your house of your own, but people invest in real estate. If you have greed, some people claim that because they gave a lot of offerings to church, they are incited by Satan, and then they also, while we haven't cast up the desire to be loved and adultery, an attractive man or woman flirts with us. While Satan incites us to feel that worldly things are lovely through fleshly thoughts, if we are taking a break from praying, we easily fall into the temptation. Contrarily, if we constantly pray without ceasing, we'd always be filled with God's grace and the Spirit, thereby being more than able to defeat the enemy devil's attacks. On top of that, if we pray without ceasing and fill our hearts with the truth, the enemy devil cannot interfere with us at all. Also, we can communicate with God and receive His protection through prayer. Brothers and sisters, what is the reason that we get stricken by tests, tribulations, and diseases in our walk with the Lord? One of the biggest reasons is we've taken a break from praying. If we pray habitually and satisfy the required amount of prayer, we can keep the oil of the Holy Spirit from running out, maintain the fullness of the Spirit, and get empowered to live in the world. Thus, we can lead a Christian life where we are always protected. The second meaning of praying without ceasing is praying at all times in the Spirit. Other than the times we pray following our habits, the Holy Spirit at times strongly inspires us to pray. As we obey and pray, we can have extraordinary experiences like avoiding a major problem or being protected from an unexpected accident. By the way, praying at all times in the Spirit means receiving the Holy Spirit's guidance by keeping a prayerful heart always. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us and moves our heart, we have to be awake with a prayerful heart. Only then can we hear His voice, obey His inspirations, and receive His guidance. Only when we stay awake in prayer can we be sensitive to the works of the Spirit. To do so, we need to have the word of the truth in us. So the third meaning of praying without ceasing is to meditate on the word day and night. In other words, this is having the word of truth always alive and active in our hearts, whenever, wherever, whomever, or whatever the occasion. At times, we see those people who are good at crying out in prayer, but once they get out to the world after praying, they still follow their old habits. No matter how long we pray, if we dwell on fleshly thoughts and walk in the untruth, we can't say we are praying from the heart. Indeed, we are to pray without ceasing. As we cry out in prayer from the heart, we can always have the Word of God alive within us and communicate with the Holy Spirit. In doing so, we can receive the Holy Spirit's guidance in all of our affairs. In doing so, we can have our lives changed, remove evil from our hearts, and achieve sanctification. We are also led onto a prosperous and blessed path. On the contrary, if we take a break from praying and fail to receive the fullness of the Spirit and His guidance, we are subject to fleshly thoughts. We fail to live by God's will, and troubles come our way. As we insist on ourselves, not letting God lead away, we are prone to be trapped by the enemy devil. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. The enemy devil tries to take away our faith and hinder us from entering heaven anyhow. And he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." As we are to pray without ceasing so that we can defeat it. For this very reason, God has commanded us to pray without ceasing and even remarked that ceasing to pray is a sin. This is His exhortation to us. Prayer shouldn't feel like our burdensome duty to God. You shouldn't force ourselves to reluctantly pray. This is because we don't know God's will. Prayer paves the way for us to ably triumph over the world and reach perfect salvation. Thus, we shouldn't pray reluctantly or grudgingly. I said that if you want to pray fervently, it depends on how you spend your time before prayer. For example, after work, you just visit a nice restaurant and ate nice food, and you enjoyed that food, and then you come straight to Daniel prayer meeting. And you hurriedly come to church, and your life is focused on finding good restaurants. And then you come to church, and then it would require a lot of time for you to concentrate on prayer. The same goes for, and even in your workplace, you thought about the restaurant you will go after work. Your heart focuses on which restaurant to go, and but during the fellowship meeting, as you spend your afternoon, you think about someone whom you didn't like, whom you had clashes with, and you think about how you will repent, how you will pray about that in the Daniel prayer meeting, and you make preparations in advance. And after work, you don't go to like a fancy restaurant, but you just have... Sometimes when we eat a lot, it burdens our stomach, and you control yourself, and you come to church earlier than a little earlier, and you prepare yourself for the preparatory praise, and you think about what think about the words you heard, and you think. And the third meaning of the not ceasing to pray is to live in the Word. And if you lived like that in the afternoon, and then you will receive God's grace. So you have to pray without ceasing, but that doesn't mean you have to force yourself to prepare. Because you want to pray better, because you want to say things fluently in prayer, you try to, and then your prayer will be so powerful, and your prayer will change you. Your prayer will give you the growth of faith. Thus, we shouldn't pray reluctantly or grudgingly, understanding. Third, God's will for us is to give thanks in all circumstances. As I mentioned earlier, if we possess faith by which we rejoice always and pray without ceasing, we abound with reasons for thanksgiving under all circumstances. Even though we have no visible evidence for which we can give thanks for, as we always rejoice and pray without ceasing, we can stay grateful in all affairs. The reason is, we've witnessed tremendous grace and profound love from God, which we can never repay even with our lifelong gratitude. All men were destined for death as sinners, but by Jesus Christ's grace of redemption, we've been forgiven, obtained eternal life, and become entitled to the authority of God's children, and developed hope for heaven. If we know the secret embedded in salvation, how could we not give thanks in all circumstances as God's children? On top of that, God's children who have faith indeed have a lot to give thanks for. God promised to give whatever we ask Him the truth. Let us find what we seek, whatever we seek, and open it when we knock. As we have this God as our Father, how thankful we should be. By the way, giving thanks in all circumstances is being thankful, not just in good times, but also in bad times. Even unbelievers who are not God's children can give thanks when they have something to appreciate, but God's children should be different. When we give thanks in faith, even when we have nothing, to give thankful in a physical sense, God is more pleased with such faith and makes things work together for good and abundantly blesses us. Thanksgiving has marvelous power to change any environment or circumstance. We find in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Therefore, when we rejoice, pray, and give thanks, even in the face of a test, God causes things to work together for good. The same goes for our growth of faith. God leads each one of us to achieve spiritual growth the most appropriate way. He allows us trials when necessary and puts us through the processes essential for our growth of faith. You may meet a person whom you hate working with. While you think that you've changed a lot and haven't lost joy, you may hear of people gossiping about and slandering you. Depending on how you get through such moments with gratitude, you can grow your faith more. You have no faults, but you hear such slanders. How could you be happy? Of course, you are in distress, even though you are briefly distressed, but you think about our fathers of faith. I shared about that, our fathers of faith, how our Deacon Stephen, how David did according to the... And
그러면 애매히 고난을 당하든 애매히 말을 들었던 그 상황이 이인의 기쁨으로 바뀌는 거예요. 누가 나를 시기해서 험담할 수 있거든요, 여러분.
Even though some people may slander you out of jealousy and envy, but you don't feel distressed, but you overcome them with joy and thanksgiving, then Father God will raise your faith. He will give you spiritual faith from above. You, in your life, you may have gone through such times during That's why these people cannot achieve growth of faith. They stay the same. You cannot grow yourself without trials. Even though you say that you are praying, even though you are wanting to achieve growth of faith, even though you long to enter New Jerusalem, even though you make such confessions, but you don't want to face any trouble. You have to strive more to circumcise your heart, and you have to check whether you are joyful or thankful. But in the face of trouble, when someone bothers you, if you lose your joy and lose your fullness, and you don't want to see them, you don't want to deal with them, and you don't want to, if you have such thoughts, you are not giving thanks. And you have to find the reasons from all reasons from yourself. You are, if you find yourself not rejoicing, you have to change, and then you can change into a person who can give thanks, even though you couldn't in the past. And you will have different levels of joy which comes from your heart, and you can worldly people, they this is not the same as the worldly people's gratitude. Nowadays, people who are longing for heaven, when they confess, it makes us happy. This is and joy coming from the depths of their hearts. As you look to God and give thanks, no matter the circumstances, you can change yourself in the truth all the more quickly. You have to examine yourself having greater faith and having coming to the Spirit, and you have to examine whether you are truly joyful, truly give thanks, and truly praying. In the past, you force yourself to be joyful because God tells you to do. But if your faith has grown enough, But some people try to be joyful and forcibly, but as he grows in faith, even though other people wouldn't even notice that he has a problem, because he has overcome the difficulties, and other people wouldn't even know. And as he looks back on himself, how happy he would be if it would feel like he is... and you reach the... And whenever... you'll be proud of yourself, and even though you may face challenges, but you just look to God and didn't lose joy and faith. And as time went by, these difficult moments actually was an opportunity, and you became able to embrace more people, and as I and you look back on yourself and you realize that you've won victory, and how wonderful this life of faith is. And you have to rise in your levels of giving thanks and praying. Therefore, I urge you to make life of this message and give thanks to God under all circumstances. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. Some believers hardly change themselves and fail to grow their faith despite having attended church for long. What is the reason? While they know the word, they don't act accordingly. James chapter 2 verse 17 tells us, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. And James chapter 2 verse 22 says, you see that faith was working with its works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Just by attending church for a year, most believers can learn about today's passage, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. But how many of them wholly act according to the word? They know that they have to rejoice and give thanks even in times of a test, but once they find themselves in trouble, they completely lose joy, worrying and complaining. They cannot even pray well. When someone is in trouble, she has to share everything with others, and then otherwise she feels so frustrated. Actually, this is the complaining. He has to pray, but he just shares everything with her, people around him. That means he doesn't have perfect trust in God. But if he tried to change himself and have faith, you want to grow through faith like that, right? Then the way is so simple. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and this is God's will for us. I hope that you also do the same. But many Christians, even though they know the word, they cannot act. But if you are indeed God's children, you are to rejoice, pray, and give thanks no matter the situation or circumstance. This is faith. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 reads, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. As most people see everything with their physical eyes, they can only believe in something being created by something. But as for people of faith, they see things with eyes of faith and believe in something being created from nothing. That's why they can stay joyful in all circumstances. Even though they face a test for their wrongdoings, they are thankful because they will be found more qualified. Even if they suffer a test with no wrongdoings, they are still thankful, believing that God will repay them with blessings. How could God not answer them when they ask with such faith? I ask that you recall the days of your past trials and look back on how much you've tried and how much you trusted in God, and whether you conquered them with joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. Even if you didn't join in judging, condemning, and slandering others, and gossiping about things, unless you did God's will, you have no compliment. And we have to receive God's recognition. hopefully, from now on, you will only trust in and look to the Almighty God, stay joyful and thankful, and pray without ceasing, thereby coming forth as true children whom God wants to have. I pray in our Lord's name that all of you, praying with a resolve to do so, will experience spiritual growth and amazing outpouring of God's answers and blessings at the summer retreat.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.